Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Now, the greatest radio shows of all time.
Suspense.
The Shadow Node.
Washington calling David Harding, counter-spy.
Classic Radio Theater.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
Dragnet. Gunsmoke.
The Lone Ranger.
Now, step back into our time machine with your host, Wyatt Cox.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We go back 74 years to July 25th, 1948, The Adventures of Sam Spade Detective, starring Howard Duff. This episode is entitled The Mad Scientist Caper, and we thank you for spending part of your Monday with us. This is the 25th day of July, 206th day of the year, 159 days remaining. It was on this date in 1946 at Club 500 in Atlantic City, New Jersey, Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis staged their first show as a comedy team.
Well, Jerry, now don't tell me that you're the one the police are after.
Yes, they think I'm crazy. I just escaped from Tehachapi.
Tehachapi? Well, that's a prison full of women.
Full of women? Then I must be crazy.
Oh, I don't get this at all, Jerry. What were you sent to prison for in the first place?
Reckless driving. I got 6 months for driving across a white line.
Oh, no, wait a minute. You can't get 6 months for driving across a white line.
On a tennis court?
Very funny comedy team, Dean Martin, Jerry Lewis. Their first show took place on this date in Atlantic City in 1946. On this date in 1946, speaking of bombs, the U.S. tested the first underwater atomic bomb at Bikini Atoll. Puerto Rico became a U.S. Commonwealth on this date in 1952, and in 1956, the Italian liner Andrea Doria sank after colliding with the Swedish ship Stockholm off the New England coast. 51 people were killed. President Nixon on this date in 1969 declared the Nixon Doctrine, stating that the U.S. now expects its Asian allies to take care of their own military defense.
Before any American troops were committed to Vietnam, a leader of another Asian country expressed this opinion to me when I was traveling in Asia as a private citizen. He said, "When you are trying to assist another nation defend its freedom, U.S. policy should be to help them fight the war, but not to fight the war for them." Well, in accordance with this wise counsel, I laid down in Guam three principles as guidelines for future American policy toward Asia. First, the United States will keep all of its treaty commitments. Second, we shall provide a shield if a nuclear power threatens the freedom of a nation allied to us or of a nation whose survival we consider vital to our security. Third, in cases involving other types of aggression, we shall furnish military and economic assistance when requested in accordance with our treaty commitments. But we shall look to the nation directly threatened to assume the primary responsibility of providing the manpower for its defense. After I announced this policy, I found that the leaders of the Philippines, Thailand, Vietnam, South Korea, other nations which might be threatened by communist aggression, welcomed this new direction in American foreign policy. The defense of freedom is everybody's business, not just America's business.
This was the start of the Vietnamization of the Vietnam War. World's first test tube baby, Louise Joy Brown, born on this date in 1978 in Lancashire, England. Soviet cosmonaut Svetlana Savistaya became the first woman to walk in space on this date in 1984. And it was on this date in 2000, the supersonic airliner Concorde crashed after takeoff outside Paris. Among those passing away on this date in history, Big Mama Willie Mae Thornton, who a great blues singer, film director Vincent Minnelli, Charlie Rich. Hey, did you happen to see the most beautiful girl in the world? And Michael Johnson, who used to sing about bluer than blue, sadder than sad. This is the birthday, by God, of Walter Brennan. Also, pro wrestler Whipper Billy Watson, and Sophia of the Golden Girls, Estelle Getty. Mrs. David Bowie, Imam, 67 years of age today. From friends, Matt LeBlanc, 55. WWE's Finn Balor is 41. Couple of actors from One Tree Hill celebrating the same birthday today. Both Chantel Van Stanton and James Lafferty, both turning 37. Singer-actress Sarah Geronimo, 34. From Speechless, Mason Cook is 22. And from American Housewife and Zombies, actress and most importantly, voice actress, because that's what a lot of she's doing now, Meg Donnelly is 22 years old as well. Though some of the people who celebrate the 25th day of July as their birthday, if this is your birthday...
Hi, we're the Four Freshmen, and we just want to say... Happy birthday to you!
And from 74 years ago, July 25th, 1948, Howard Duff as the Sam Spade in The Adventures of Sam Spade Detective on this Monday Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox here on your favorite station.
You ever make a change and then think... Why didn't I do this years ago? Well, that's how people feel about switching to MediShare for their health care, especially now with inflation the way it is. People are very happy with the savings. Most families save about $500 a month when they switch. It's a huge help when prices are going up so fast in so many other areas. And MediShare's customer satisfaction rate is double that of health insurance. It's just a different experience, and people really like that. MediShare is an alternative to health insurance. It's a community of Christians who share each other's health care bills, and it's been going strong for over 25 years. It really is the gold standard, the most trusted name in health care sharing. Find out why people love it. Find out why they rave about the customer service, and find out how good it feels to save some money right now. They're super easy to talk to. Here's the number, 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. Bible, 833-34-BIBLE.
Mike Lindell and MyPillow offering the BOGO extravaganza right now on a whole slew of MyPillow products. Now you can find all sorts of great deals on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillow, six-piece towel sets, roll-and-go anywhere pillows, much more, all priced buy one, get one free. Go to MyPillow.com/USA, use promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175 and find you some great MyPillow products. They're all available. Oh, by the way, you can also get Mike's book absolutely free with any purchase, but you have to go to MyPillow.com/USA or call 1-800-951-8175 and make sure you use the promo code, the Buy One, Get One Extravaganza, going on right now at MyPillow.com.
Are you in bad pain? You know what I mean. Your knees hurt. Your shoulder hurts. Your elbow and back are constantly killing you. And I'm sure you've tried every pain pill or cream available at the drugstore. Am I right? Well, here's something you haven't tried. Pain Magic. Pain Magic is not available at any drugstore. The only place you can get it is by calling the special toll-free number I'm about to give you. And to make things even better, call right now and find out about our buy one, get one free offer. We're so confident it'll work for you that we offer a free bottle with your purchase. No prescription required. Call now to learn how you can get Pain Magic and get rid of your pain. Remember, your results may vary. 800-492-8164. 800-492-8164. 800-492-8164. That's 800-492-8164.
Thank you for tuning in to Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox. Howard Duff's most memorable radio role was as Sam Spade. He was the actor in the show from 1946 until 1950. He left the program in 1950 at the start of the first season. Some people say it was because of his film career and TV career. And in fact, it was the sponsor saying he did not want to be associated with somebody who had been listed in Red Channels. If you don't know what Red Channels is, that was a publication that claimed there were a whole bunch of communists in Hollywood. And Duff claimed to have been what was claimed to have been by the publication a communist subversive. The book is Red Channels, a Report of Communist Influence in Radio and Television. Duff, though, still went on to do many guest appearances in television. He also took his hand at directing as well. He had the lead role in the short-lived TV series Dante. That ran for the only in the 1960 season. Greater success as Detective Sam Stone in the ABC police drama Felony Squad from 1966 to 1969. He appeared in all 73 episodes of the series during his three-season run, alongside his co-stars Dennis Cole and Ben Alexander. You know Ben Alexander, Officer Frank Smith in the Dragnet franchise. And he made a number of guest appearances through the 70s and 80s, including in Charlie's Angels, Murder, She Wrote, Magnum P.I. And shortly before his death, he did have a prominent role in the 1987 thriller No Way Out, alongside Kevin Costner and Gene Hackman. And he passed away at age 76 of a heart attack in Santa Barbara, California. And there are some people who say if he had not been married to Ida Lupino in the 1950s, it could have cost him his entire career. We are just thankful that it did not. Many good people had their lives damaged through the Cold War, and Howard Duff was one. All right, now let's get on with this here. The Adventures of Sam Spade, Detective, the Mad Scientist Caper. This was originally broadcast on July 25th, 1948, sponsored by Wild Root Cream Oil, Charlie.
The Adventures of Sam Spade, Detective, brought to you by Wild Root Cream Oil Hair Tonic. The non-alcoholic hair tonic that contains lanolin. Wild Root Cream Oil. Again and again, the choice of men who put good grooming first.
Sam Spade Detective Agency.
This is Mad Scientific Detective number 137596.
Sam, no matter what anyone says, I'll stand by you. You're nothing of the sort.
Not scientific?
Of course not. You're two-fisted.
Well, thanks, Effie, and that ain't all, Effie. I was actually mistaken for a convolutional melancholiac.
Oh, Sam, are you all right now?
Wrong diagnosis, Angel. It turned out to be melancholia catatonica.
Oh, you poor darling. What is that?
Well, it's a thing where you lie motionless and silent with fixed eyes and indifference to surroundings. Unquote.
Sam, what happened to you? What hospital are you in? Can I bring you anything?
No, Effie, I am now at large. Pull down the blinds, check the corridors for men in little white coats, and set a bottle in the window if the coast is clear.
Oh.
I'll be right down to dictate my report on the Mad Scientist Caper.
Dashiell Hammett, America's leading detective fiction writer and creator of Sam Spade, the hard-boiled private eye, and William Spear, radio's outstanding producer-director of mystery and crime drama, join their talents to make your hair stand on end with the adventures of Sam Spade. And now, with Howard Duff starring as Spade, Wild Root brings to the air the greatest private detective of them all in the adventures of Sam Spade.
Why is it so dark in here?
Well, I had to put the lights out. The blind stuck. I couldn't get it down.
The heat's off, Effie. Let there be light.
Oh, I'm so glad. Now, let me look at you.
Don't look at me like that and stop whispering.
Oh, Sam. You get me all upset like that just for a joke?
It's no joke, sweetheart.
What is this?
Yeah, just sick of some of the types I made in this business.
Oh, Sam.
July 25, 1948, to Detective Lieutenant Dundee, Homicide Detail, San Francisco Police, from Samuel Spade, license number 137596, subject, the Mad Scientist Caper.
I worry so.
Dear Dundee, he looked like a mad scientist, and that's exactly what he was. His eyes had a wild gleam in them, his hair was a wild tangle, and he was wearing a wild assortment of clothing that looked as if they'd been slept in shifts. He leaned across the desk at me and said,
"They have stolen my secret formula."
"They have? Gee, that's too bad."
"Oh, you think I'm crazy?"
"I don't know yet. I just met you."
"My name is Raymond Fox. Did that mean anything to you?"
"Raymond Fox, yeah, I think it does, but I don't quite remember what."
"I invented the helioscope."
"Helioscope? No, that wasn't it."
"I also synthesized hydroxylamophotocraniton."
"That was it?"
"Yes, but unfortunately, production costs were prohibitive."
"Uh-huh, but you didn't let that discourage you."
"Oh, no, indeed. You see, after a brief illness, I was back in my laboratory, perfecting my greatest contribution to science. What may prove to be the greatest contribution of science to humanity. I call it penetron.
Penetron.
That is what they have stolen. The secret formula for penetron."
"Penetron, huh? Now, what exactly is penetron, Mr. Fox, and who are they?"
Well, penetron is a plastic with a molecular structure which repels atomic radiation more efficiently than lead, yet weighs less than aluminium."
"Oh, that."
"Do you realize the significance of this?"
"Well,
And imagine a motor no larger than a cigar box with a power potential that even I don't believe. They do."
"Who's they?"
"Grierson Enterprises. Now, how do I know this? When I applied to the patent office to protect my discovery, I received this letter. Here, come on, read it for yourself."
"Commissioner of Patents, Washington, D.C. Dear Mr. Fox, your application for patent on formula designated under the trade name Penetron is hereby rejected. Both formula and trade name, together with descriptive material identical to yours, have been registered by Mr. Albert Grierson, Grierson Enterprises, San Francisco. Very truly yours, George Sherman, Acting Deputy Assistant Commissioner."
You see?
Yes. You don't need a detective, Mr. Fox. What you need is a good patent lawyer."
"Lawyer? I have one. A legal ball of fire named Roscoe Manning. You know this scoundrel?"
"Yeah, he's got an okay reputation."
"And I am paying for it. $3,000 in retainers. And now he tells me he can do nothing. Insufficient evidence, he says."
"What is this outfit, Grierson Enterprises?"
"Yeah, a snare in a delusion with rented furniture, unscientific ventilation, and dirty work at the switchboard."
"Mm-hmm. How did they get hold of your formula?"
"Well, it must have been while I was ill. They came and took it away."
"Out of your laboratory?"
"Oh, well, what does it matter where?"
"I've got to start someplace."
"Start with the man. I promise you he's a crook. If he steals from me, he's stolen from others. If we can prove that, then I have a case."
"Well, I can't promise you anything, Mr. Fox, but I'll see what I can do."
"Will $100 be enough for your retainer?"
"Too much. $25 now, and the balance if I can do anything for you." I doubted if I could even earn the $25, but if he wanted to gamble, it was okay with me. The offices of Grierson Enterprises were pretty much as he described them, a beautiful front, especially at the switchboard.
"Grierson Enterprises, good afternoon. No, Mr. Grierson's out of town. No, I don't know when to expect it. I'll be right with you."
"That's good news."
"Grierson Enterprises? No, he is not. No, I do not, and he doesn't want to talk to you in any case, Mr. Manning. Oh, if it would just stop."
"Can't you shut it off?"
"I might as well. Nobody seems to believe me anyway. You aren't looking for him, too, I hope. Oh, please, just tell me you're selling magazines or collecting salvage or just anything."
"My card."
"Oh, detective, Mr. Grierson hasn't done anything, has he?"
"That's what I want to find out. My client says he swiped his secret formula."
"Oh, not that maniac. You don't look the type. You know he's mad, don't you?"
"Maybe yes, maybe no. Personally, I'm crazy about money. Mad money, pin money, or dirty money. Your employer didn't happen to leave any lying around, did he?"
"No, but he has a charge account at a bar downstairs in the building, and it's nearly 5:00. Could you cross-examine me there?"
I thanked her as gallantly as I could under the circumstances. She said, "Wait here, I won't be a minute." And while she was gone, I made a quick frisk of the office. The file cabinet was empty. Grierson's desk contained nothing but two unsharpened pencils, tobacco crumbs, a rubber band, some rusty paper clips, an old gas bill, a glass ampule, broken, labeled sodium denadrine for intravenous injection, and a business card from one Roscoe Manning, attorney at law. I stuck the card in my pocket, went back to the switchboard, and in less time than it takes to tell, I was calling her Lois, and she was calling me Sam over cocktails for two.
"That's all I know about it. I didn't think anything about his taking his correspondence out of the file. He often took work home with him."
"Mm-hmm. When was the last time you saw him?"
"Oh, it's been nearly 6 weeks."
"You haven't heard from him in all that time?"
"He was with Mr. Fox just before he left. They had a terrible quarrel. But then Mr. Grierson managed to get him calmed down, and they left the office together."
"And that's the last time you saw Grierson?"
"Yes, and it's all very strange. What did that that maniac tell you?
That prisons swipe his invention.
Do you believe that?
I didn't even believe in the invention. Now I'm beginning to think it was worth stealing.
Oh, Mr. Grierson wouldn't. He's a brilliant man, you know.
What else has he invented?
Well, I don't know. He always had a lot of projects, but of course he never took me into his confidence.
Just exactly what is your job?
Oh, it's quite simple, really. I just tell people he's an imp.
Yeah, look, sweetheart, you really mean to tell me it never occurred to you that there might be something slightly fishy about Grierson Enterprises?
I know. Why should it?
Because there's a smell of red herring up there. It's in the air.
You mean Mr. Grierson's a crook? Well, what does that make me?
Worry that out on his time. Drink up. She looked as if she were telling the truth. Though with women, especially blue-eyed women, that doesn't always mean anything. If she had anything more to tell, she obviously wasn't ready yet to tell it. I asked her to come up and listen to my Herb Jeffries records. She said my apartment needed a woman's touch. I handed her a broom. She hit me on the head with it and left. And so to bed. Times and phoned my client. He wasn't in. Then I phoned a guy I know who sometimes knows about things and asked him what sodium denadrine was. He said it was a sedative and or a truth serum, a mental type drug. I wondered what Grierson had been using it for during office hours. I also wondered what else he'd been spending money for. I phoned another guy who knows about other things and he called me back with the name of Grierson's bank, Golden Gate Trust. An hour later, to my surprise, I actually had something to go on. Because in the past 6 weeks, checks totaling $50,000 had been deposited to Grierson's account, all drawn on the Citrus Exchange Bank at San Anselmo, and all bearing the signature of one Carl Birdwell, M.D. He wasn't hard to find. It was a big place on the outskirts, and the sign on the gate said, Mary F. Hotchkiss Hospital for the Mentally Deranged. Dr. Birdwell's cottage was one of five without bars on the window. He was spraying his roses.
Dr. Cobras, how are those convulsions? Coordination all right?
Can't complain.
Got the use of your fingers back? Good. Pick up those shears. I want all those ragged edges to cut off the hedges.
Well, why don't you hire a gardener out of those checks to Grierson and use up all your ready cash?
Eh? Oh, I thought you were the cystidectomy. Good Lord, you're that convolutional melancholiac. You're not allowed out on the grounds. God! God!
Now, wait a minute, Doctor.
Mr. Mack, take him back. I said for the cystidectomy. This is the wrong man.
You're crazy.
Come on.
Let go of me. I'm not a patient here. I'm a detective.
Yeah, and I'm Sherlock Holmes. Come on, now, back to the violent war.
Come on, lay off. I got an office in San Francisco. I can prove it. 137596.
Okay, Dr. Watson, but come on, come on.
And more time than it takes to tell, due to the guard's jujitsu, I was disrobed, straight-jacketed, and rolled into a wet sheet. A full-fledged inmate of the Mary F. Hotchkiss Hospital for the Mentally Deranged, which is exactly where I belong for having taken Mr. Fox's $25.
The makers of Wild Root Cream Oil are presenting the weekly Sunday adventure of Dashiell Hammett's famous private detective, Sam Spade.
Most certainly wasn't a kind way to start out. But what do you expect from Sam Spade Detective? The Adventures of Sam Spade Detective, starring Howard Duff, as it was originally broadcast 74 years ago, July 25th, 1948. We'll take a look at the news items from 74 years ago today and see how Sam Spade gets out of this mess when Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox continues following these very important messages.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA News Update. A majority of voters believe federal prosecutors have a strong case against former President Trump in the U.S. Capitol riot probe. That's according to a new Harvard University Capps-Harris poll. It found 57% of registered voters think that prosecutors have either a strong or very strong case against Trump. Protests are rocking Israel after Parliament passed a law weakening that country's Supreme Court. This Israeli military reservist is criticizing Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
I'm ashamed of him. I think he's the first dictator of Israel. I think he's lost his heart.
The measure removes the court system's ability to strike down unreasonable government decisions. Whataburger is heading further west. The Texas-based burger chain will open their first restaurant on the Las Vegas Strip. It will be located at the Waldorf Astoria and open 24 hours a day. John Schaefer, USA News.
Hey, y'all, Jeff Foxworthy here. Now, if you've ever found yourself repeating the same thing over and over for 75 years, you might be Smokey Bear.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's why I'm filling in for Smokey to switch things up, because there's a lot more to say. And I should know, because my grandfather was a firefighter. And one of the things he taught me is that the people that love the outdoors the most are often the ones accidentally starting wildfires. Which means, always BYOB. No, bring your own bucket to the campfire. And be extra careful with things like burning yard trimmings. Don't just walk away, or chances are, you might be starting a wildfire. So for the love of the outdoors, go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Joining us on this Monday Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox, an episode of The Adventures of Sam Spade Detective starring Howard Duff, as it was originally broadcast on Sunday, July 25th, 1948. In the newspapers of that Sunday, 74 years ago, these were some of the headlines. An American C-47 transport flying food to blockaded Berlin crashed into an apartment house near Tempelhof Aerodrome at almost the same hour that General Lucius D. Clay arrived in Berlin from Washington with new instructions for coping with the Soviets. Clay, American military governor in Germany, arrived immediately and announced that a top-level diplomatic conference on Berlin will be held early this week in London. He said before he left Washington, the U.S. is considering doubling the number of planes in the airlift, which is supplying food and other provisions to the beleaguered western sections of Berlin. Henry Wallace thundered acceptance of the Progressive Party nomination last night and calmly suggested that America pull her soldiers out of uneasy Berlin, quoting, "If I were president, there would be no crisis in Berlin today." It was Wallace, greeted by cheers that fairly rattled the stands, clear to the home run stretches of this floodlighted baseball park, who shouted that American policy in Germany was born of lust for power and profit. Berlin, he said, already has been given up politically, and we can't lose anything by giving it up militarily in a search for peace. When President Truman announced his decision to call Congress back into session beginning Monday, he said prices since controls ended in 1946 have gone off the chart. Last week, the government announced that both retail and wholesale prices have hit an all-time high. Translated in the simplest terms, the government figures show that what was a food dollar in 1946 has shrunk to 53 cents. The American housewife or wage earner fingering a dollar bill whose food purchases value has shriveled in 2 years to 53 cents knows that prices are too high for the family budget. President Truman said yesterday the latest secret A-bomb tests in the Pacific indicated that this country's atomic weapon position in an insecure world, those his words, has been substantially strengthened. Truman said the U.S. will continue to probe deeper into the mysteries of atomic energy, both for peace and possible war, under a veil of secrecy dictated by our need for security. The U.S. will tell the United Nations Assembly the full story of its deadlock with Russia over the atomic bomb. There are indications the U.S. will then ask the Assembly, what now? These pointers on U.S. plans for the Assembly meeting in Paris in September came from informed sources who watched the two-year efforts of the Western powers to agree with the Soviet Union on international atomic energy control. The atomic question is expected in U.N. circles be the top issue between Russia and the Western powers at the Assembly. The States' Rights Democrats Steering Committee yesterday decided in Atlanta to try to enter a presidential ticket in all the states. The action announced in a formal statement released through George McNabb, press secretary to Governor Strom Thurmond of South Carolina. Thurmond recommended at the Birmingham States' Rights Convention July 11 to carry the South's fight on civil rights against President Truman. His running mate selected at the Birmingham meeting is Governor Fielding L. Wright of Mississippi, the vice presidential candidate. In Vinita, Oklahoma, James Spence had more high school commencement announcements than he needed, so he sent one to Governor Roy J. Turner. He didn't expect a present, but Turner sent him a new yellow tie and a note of congratulations. And when the Macon, Georgia Peaches, a team in the South Atlantic Baseball League, say they was robbed, they meant it. While the Peaches were beating the Columbus Cardinals, a thief snuck into the team's quarters. They stole $51.50 worth of baseball equipment. And those some of the day's top news stories as reported in the newspapers of Sunday, July 25th, 1948. On your radio, The Adventures of Sam Spade, starring Howard Duff, and we'll hear the conclusion next on this Monday Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox on your favorite radio station.
Are you suffering with arthritis or osteoporosis? Do you have diabetes? Did you know that these are just two of the hundreds of diseases that have seen improvement with Dr. Wallach's incredible longevity products? You can't get them at a health food store. The only way to get them is to call us at 800-214-0065. That's 800-214-0065. Do you have heart disease, fibromyalgia, or high blood pressure? Do you have a terrible time losing weight? Dr. Wallach can help. He was a veterinarian and cured diseases in animals. He felt that he could do the same for humans, so he became a physician. Over 50 years of research and helping people like you goes into every bottle of Dr. Wallach's amazing discoveries. Do you want to feel better? Learn how to treat the cause of your problem rather than covering up the symptoms with drugs. Call 800-214-0065. That's 800-214-0065.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. we now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked. There's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their three-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Willis Cooper created Lights Out many, many years ago, and Arch Obler took it to new heights. Well, Willis Cooper came back to radio in the late 1940s and created a program that aired on ABC and Mutual called Quiet Please. And that's what we'll hear on Tuesday's Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox from 74 years ago, July 26, 1948, The Man Who Stole a Planet, a story about an archaeologist who finds a strange globe in a Mexican tomb. It's not just representative. It is the real planet. That'll be coming up on Tuesday's Classic Radio Theater. But now the conclusion of The Adventures of Sam Spade Detective, starring Howard Duff. 74 years ago, July 25th, 1948, The Mad Scientist Caper.
And now, back to The Mad Scientist Caper. Tonight's adventure with Sam Spade.
I have been shot, stabbed, slashed, pistol whipped, and sapped into unconsciousness. But until you have spent a night rolled up in a wet sheet, Dundee, you don't know what punishment is. You feel hot and cold at the same time, too miserable to sleep, too exhausted to stay awake. And after 4 hours of it, you just give up and join the crazies pushing up the daisies. There's only one thing I can say in favor of the Mary F. Hotchkiss Hospital for the Mentally Deranged. They get the patients up early. By 6:30 in the a.m., I had been rolled out of the sheet. By 6:45, I had thawed out enough to be taken out of the straitjacket by an orderly. I was glad to be out of it because it was very heavy, and that gave me an idea. I picked it up and swung it. In less time than it takes to tell, I was in the orderly's uniform, out of the violent wing, and shuffling up the walk through Dr. Birdwell's rose garden and through his cottage door. Good morning, Dr. Birdwell.
Good Lord, who let you in here? What do you want?
I was trying to tell you yesterday when I was so rudely interrupted.
Hey? Oh, yes, the detective. Did you say Grierson sent you?
I didn't say that.
I'm afraid you'll have to be absolutely specific or I can't help you.
All right. My client is an inventor who claims that Mr. Grierson stole a formula from him, got a patent on it, and stands to profit to the tune of about $1 million. The last two items check. I don't know whether Grierson's a crook or not. He's into you for $50,000, so you might know.
This inventor. Pale eyes, contracted pupils, big mop of hair.
That's a fair description.
Fox. Raymond Fox. He's a patient. Escaped from this hospital. That man, Mr. Spade, is a homicidal maniac. If you jog your memory, you may recall the case. Sacramento, 1935.
Wait a minute. Chemistry professor, lab explosion?
That's the case. Two of his colleagues, whom he irrationally suspected of stealing the formula for the explosive he used to blow them up.
You sure they didn't?
The man was adjudged hopelessly insane. He must be returned to us. He may murder Grierson, he may murder you, but he will commit a murder if he remains at large. Perhaps more than one murder. You must help us, Spade.
Like you, Doctor, I can't help unless you're absolutely specific about a couple of things. Your connection with Grierson, for instance.
I invested in Grierson's firm.
How did Fox meet Grierson?
He was allowed a certain degree of freedom here during his rational period. I had guessed that he went through my papers or overheard one of my conversations with Mr. Grierson.
Do you know he retained a lawyer?
Huh?
Manning, smart patent lawyer. You must think Fox has a case.
Oh, surely not.
Grierson thinks so, too.
You've talked to Grierson?
No, but I've examined his bank statements.
The bank allowed that?
I told him I was Grierson's attorney. The point is, Grierson is broke.
Why?
Because he's paid out every penny you gave him to the order of Roscoe Manning, attorney at law. And you know what I think, Doctor?
Yes?
I think Raymond Fox is crazy like a fox. I had the same idea about Dr. Birdwell, but I didn't say so. I didn't feel up to spending another night in a wet sheet. I also didn't feel up to the interview that was awaiting me outside the gates. A limousine, only a little longer than a hearse, was standing at the curb. A pink head with a gray Homburg on it bobbed out at me from the driver's seat and said,
Mr. Spade?
Yeah?
Roscoe Manning, how'd you do?
About $49,975 less than you've done in the caper so far.
The law is a lucrative profession, my boy. Get in, I'll drive you back to town.
No charge?
I'll even give you some free advice, sans retainer. Well, Jack, you were an elusive chap. I've had the devil's own time catching up with you.
How did you? I won't ask why.
And I am not without resources. Now, as to our mutual client, Mr. Fox, obviously you've learned a good deal about him.
Dr. Birdwell says he's cuckoo, and it's only a toss-up which one of us he's going to blow up first.
And just about what you'd expect from a medical man. If you'd listened to as much conflicting medical testimony in court as I have, you'd take them all with a grain of salt. Or should I say, soda mint.
Or sodium denadrine?
That's a mysterious remark.
I was just trying it on for size. It didn't fit.
Well, sir, here is my proposition. As to Fox's sanity, it's of no importance. He has money, and I think he has a case. We can always get a doctor to say he's back in his right mind.
Where do I fit into your scheme?
You just keep looking for Grierson. And watch that secretary of his. I don't trust her.
Anything else?
Oh, I almost forgot. Here's $500, and here's your ticket to Chicago.
I don't know why, but somehow I got the impression that Mr. Manning was trying to get rid of me. He should have used that ticket to Chicago himself. We stopped at Sausalito for breakfast, and the condemned man ate a hearty meal. We drove the last mile through the Marina District and pulled up in front of his house.
Well, sir, have a nice trip. Take the car, Mr. Spade. I'll pick it up at the depot. Goodbye. It's been charming. Goodbye.
He backed across the sidewalk, waving, and I waved back. Then he went up three steps, put a key in his door, and opened it. It didn't do much damage to the house, but all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Roscoe Manning back together. I got out of the car and just made it up the steps when it happened again. I hated the look, but I did. With a limousine had been parked with me in it, it was a smoking heap of scrap metal. I then headed for the nearest phone booth and, pausing only to inspect it for mines and booby traps, dialed the number of Grierson Enterprises.
Grierson Enterprises.
Lois, Sam Spade.
Sam, darling, thank you for the present.
What present?
I haven't had a chance to open it yet, but I think I can guess what it is. A traveling clock.
You mean a package arrived and it ticks?
Oh, darling, don't be such a tease.
Now, Lois, listen.
Oh.
Throw it out the window. No, don't do that. Pedestrians, innocent bystanders. Have you got a metal wastebasket there?
I think so, yes.
Well, fill it up with water and throw the package into it.
And ruin my lovely clock?
It is not a lovely clock. It's a lovely booby trap.
Oh, go on.
I'm serious. Manning just got one of them, and what's left of him is on the way to the morgue.
Oh, I think I'm going to faint.
Lois! Lois! Wake up! Pour some water on yourself! Hello, hello! Let me through. Lois. Lois. Oh, you're okay. Right of that. All right, she's all right now, you people. Come on, get out of here. She's all right. Come on, get up. You're not hurt.
Oh, what happened?
It exploded in the water. At least you had sense enough to do what I told you to.
Oh, this is a new dress. Now look at it.
It looks fine here. Put this coat around you.
I don't think that was a very funny joke, Sam.
Neither do I. Now, try and forget your clothes for a minute. And try and answer a few questions for me. There isn't much time.
Sam, what is it?
I want you to be very sure of this, Lois. Try and remember accurately. How many people has Grierson seen since he opened this office?
Well, not very many. Which are they ever in? That's strange. Now that I think of it, I can only remember two. Mr. Manning and that mad scientist man, Mr. Fox.
Yeah, did you hear any of the conversation between Grierson and Fox?
He did scream at Mr. Grierson about how his invention had been stolen from him. Then it sounded as if they scuffled, and all of a sudden Mr. Fox calmed down.
Mm-hmm.
When he came out, his eyes looked funny. As if he'd been hypnotized.
Yeah. What does Grierson look like?
Oh, he must have been quite handsome at one time. He's sort of like Gregory Peck with a mustache, only fatter and balder and older.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have put it exactly like that, but I can see what you mean.
But you've never seen him.
Don't make book on it, but I think I have. I made three phone calls. One to a crime reporter I don't like very well, giving him a false story on the death of Lois, Grierson's secretary. Another to my client, the mad scientist, alias Raymond Fox. And one to Dr. Birdwell. Then I went to my apartment and waited. My client arrived 5 minutes before the doctor. When Birdwell came in, my client said...
Aha! That's he! He stole my secret formula!
Oh, now, Raymond, you're getting confused again.
Oh!
I'm the doctor, don't you remember?
That's not true! Your name is Grierson!
Oh, he's much worse. He's identification. You must try to remember, Raymond. Nobody's going to hurt you. But you'll be much sicker if you don't remember.
But I do remember. I remember everything.
Do you remember setting the bombs at Manning's house and the one you sent to Mr. Grierson's office?
No. Grierson isn't dead. You're Grierson.
No, Grierson isn't dead. Only that poor girl.
No. She didn't steal my formula. It was you. Oh, you're trying to mix me up.
I'm trying to help you. Now, roll up your sleeve. I'll give you something to quiet your nerves and we'll go back to the hospital.
Put it away, Doctor. You've helped them enough.
Huh? Now, look here. This man is my patient. He needs medical attention.
I won't argue with you, but I think he'd better get it from some other doctor. Right now, he's making more sense than you are.
Just keep on the way you're going, Spade, and I'll have you back in that wet sheet. I did it once, and I can do it again.
Sit down. You got delusions of grandeur. Stop shaking, Raymond. I said you're making more sense than he is, and I can prove it.
You think you're very astute, don't you?
No, I'm stupid, but I'm lucky. I should have tumbled to the whole caper when I found that you'd invested 50,000 smackers in Grierson Enterprises. When I found out that Raymond was an escaped patient, I should have tumbled to what that Denadrine vial was doing in Grierson's desk. I should have known then that you and Grierson were one and the same person.
I told you. When
I discovered that you'd paid Manning all that shakedown money, I should have known you were planning to knock him off and everybody else who could identify you. But it didn't work out that way. I got out of the car before it blew up. Dumb luck.
And you can identify me as Grierson?
I don't have to.
Oh, God. Surely you're not counting on Raymond's sanity to that extent. He can't even remember that I was his doctor. Can you, Raymond?
You're trying to mix me up. You stole my formula. I didn't kill them, did I, Mr. Spade?
Now lie down on the couch and relax, Raymond. Don't worry about a thing.
Well, Doctor, what now?
You relax, too. Okay, Lois, come on in.
What? Doris!
Why, Mr. Grierson, have you been sick?
How dare you? How dare you ruin all my plans like this? You stupid...
Okay, that's enough. Come on, get back there.
Get back.
Sorry, sweetheart. I didn't mean to let him get that close to you.
What were you trying to do?
It was an experiment, just to see what would happen. It did.
So that's the way you scientific dictators work. For a hard-boiled chap, you have the vaguest way of doing things I ever heard of.
Well, plans are all right sometimes, Doctor, and sometimes just stirring things up is all right if you're tough enough to survive and keep your eyes open so you see what you want when it comes to the top or something. Spade, Dundee. I'm at home. I've got two homicidal characters here, one sane and one insane. Now, if you can tell the difference, I'll let you give the story to the papers. And that, Lieutenant D, is the crop. You picked the wrong one. Figures? It's as simple as this. Rain Raymond Fox was the loony, but Birdwell, alias Grierson, conceived and executed the whole scheme, including the explosions. Don't worry about Fox. He's now back at the hospital working on a new secret formula. I don't know what it is, but it might be an anti-truth serum, because that's how Birdwell got the penetron formula, by using truth serum on the mad scientist to make him talk. Anyway, you figured, he's crazy like a fox. His enemies are all dead or on their way, and he's as snug as a rug in a bughouse. Period. End of Looney Tunes.
Well, of all... Well, just imagine. Well, it takes all sorts to make a world, I guess.
Well, I guess you never spoke a truer word, Effie, but don't forget, a stitch in time saves nine.
Don't feel too badly about it, Sam. Better late than never.
You took the words right out of the horse's mouth, but it's later than you think, Angel. Type that up, Angel, and while you're at it, see if you can think up a way to teach an old dog new tricks.
Over what you said.
Which?
About teaching an old dog new tricks.
Mm-hmm.
You're only as old as you feel, Sam.
Then send in the application for my old age pension.
Oh, Sam, I won't let you talk that way now. You're just tired and nervous and run down.
Yeah, backaches, stay up nights, sour racket.
You're just feeling sorry for that Mr. Fox. I wouldn't worry about him. As you pointed out, he's safer where he is for all concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And after all, necessity is the mother of invention.
What's that got to do with anything?
Well, he's an inventor, isn't he?
Oh, that.
You see? All's well that ends well. Good night, Sam.
Good night, Pollyanna.
Pollyanna. Oh, she's a glad girl. Oh, no, Sam, that's Shakespeare, that old...
You know best. All ashore that's going ashore. Good night, sweetheart.
The Adventures of Sam Spade, Dashiell Hammett's famous private detective, are produced and directed by William Spear. Sam Spade is played by Howard Duff. Lorene Tuttle is Effie. The Adventures of Sam Spade are written for radio by Bob Solomon and Gil Dowd, with musical direction by Lud Gluskin. Gil Dowd directed tonight's broadcast in William Spear's absence. Join us again next Sunday for another adventure with Sam Spade.
July 25th, 1948, The Adventures of Sam Spade Detective here on Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox. Visit my webpage, classicradio.stream, where you can stream our shows on demand. You don't have to miss a single show. You can always hear them there. There's also a list of places where you can find our shows for delivery through your favorite device. Also at classicradio.stream, you can find our social media links. You can contact me directly. And if you like what I do, you can buy me a coffee. If you wouldn't, I'd sure appreciate it. Please thank this radio station, support their advertisers, tell your friends the great radio shows are right here at this spot on the dial. Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox on your favorite station. Have a great week, won't you?
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers. Simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.